Listen, I woke up this morning, and by my bedside was Dr. Doom and Mr. Gloom. They were there when I woke up waiting for me. And I got up, I got a cup of coffee, and I walked around my house, and I looked at my front wall that's five different colors because I can't get the color to match. And I'm like, and I went into the bathroom and I looked where I'm painting in the bathroom, and I went upstairs and looked where I'm painting, and I actually went outside and looked around, and half of my house is painted about this high all the way around. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm afraid of heights. I get up on a ladder. A man's got to know his limitations. My house is half painted. And I'm just like, it's just not all going to get done. And I've said to my wife, I said, honey, I am overwhelmed. I'm green. I'm overwhelmed. Got up, did some things. My wife went out. I knew I've learned something through this process. When my wife says, honey, would you do this for me? She expects me to do it right now. I hear, honey, yes, I'll put that on my list. No. Fellas, when your wife asks you to do something, she doesn't want you to put it on her list. She wants it to get done. So I spent the morning doing some things that I knew was important to my wife. They didn't help me get my bathroom painted or the color fixed on the front of the house or anything else like that. And then I had to go to work. So I'm at work, and I called Pastor. He was my second phone call, but it went to voicemail. I just want you to know, I called my wife first, then I called my pastor. And I said, Pastor, I made my first pastoral decision today. And he said, okay. And I was talking to the head deacon in Limestone, and I could tell he's a funny guy. He's a lot like Matt Hankey, very dry humor. You got to know him to understand what he's saying. And I said, listen, you're my contractor. You're my eyes on the ground. You're the chief operator, the cook and bottle washer. I mean, you got to tell me what's going on up there. And he told me what was going on up there, that they were very behind. He and his partner had worked between work and the parsonage about 80 hours, maybe 85, between those two jobs of getting ready. And he said, we'll probably have to do a couple of things after you move in, but it'll be okay. So being the investigative financial representative that I am, I'm trained to ask questions to find out what's going on. Well, I found out what was going on, and I said, listen, this is my recommendation. I think we need to postpone a week. You guys aren't ready for me. When I get in that house is going to be full. There's not going to be any extra room at all because we're downsizing considerably. I said, listen, talk to the guys. This is what I think. Run it by them. Make sure they're okay with it. He said, I don't have to run it by them. I know they're going to be okay with it. Are you sure? I said, yeah. It's the Gumby principle. The Gumby principle? I said, yes. You got to be flexible in the ministry, right? Matt Hankey would say, Gumby doesn't have a backbone. And my answer is always, Gumby never lost his shape. So you got to be flexible in the ministry. You say, brother, you look a little disheveled. I said, right now, I look a little disheveled, don't I? Yes, I just got dressed, just got my tie on about 5 minutes before the service. The devil's trying to get me discouraged, but the Lord is trying to teach me a few things. I thought someone was coming to look at our house. So right when my wife was starting to make dinner, we packed it up and put everything away and cleaned everything up and turned all the lights on and tried to straighten up and got out of the house with our food in tow and my clothes and the whole nine yards, only to find out that they're coming tomorrow. So the devil's trying to get me discouraged, but God's really trying to teach me some things here through this. And I could go on, but there's a couple of things that I preach on a lot. And some of you have been with me in the nursing home. This will make sense to you. I preach a lot on prayer. I say, why do you do that, brother? Because it's something that we can all do. And you can be 85 years old and still be a prayer warrior. And some of the ladies and gentlemen occasionally that we minister to at Carillon, they're older and they don't get up and around and they don't get out, but they can still pray. I preach a lot on prayer. And there's something else, another one of my hobby horse topics is soul winning. I like to preach on soul winning because people are afraid to share their faith, and there's no reason to be afraid. And it's something that we can all do, even if you're, how old is Miss Mayotte, 80, 85? They're older than I am, considerably. And we can still do that. And I preach a lot on the will of God. I wish the teens were here. I preach a lot on the will of God because it's all in here. And there's a specific will of God for you, and there's a specific will of God for you, but it's all in here. And I thought I missed it. I was 40 years old when God called me into the ministry, and if I'd have been listening when I was 18, I'd be like here as an evangelist or a church planner or whatever. I wouldn't be just now going out. So I say all that to say God's got a plan for your life. But there's somebody else that has a plan for your life also. Satan has a plan for your life. And I'm going to sum it up really easy in 5 words. Doubt, discouragement, diversion, delay, defeat. Satan has a plan for your life. That's my outline right there. Doubt, discouragement, diversion, delay, defeat. And I'd like to preach a message to you that I've entitled The Devil's Plan for Your Life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that it would be from you and not from me. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said and nothing more. But Father, I just thank you for the opportunity and I ask you to bless your word. Lord, we love you. It's because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. 5 words: doubt, discouragement, diversion, delay, defeat. I'm almost afraid to walk away. Listen, how many of you have ever heard the phrase, it's the oldest trick in the book? It is the oldest trick in the book. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, where you will find the oldest trick in the book. That's where it comes from. I don't know if it comes from that or not, but it sure makes sense to me because Satan is talking to Eve and he's trying to get Eve to doubt God's word because Satan wants you to question God's word and his goodness. It is the oldest trick in the book, and you know what? He doesn't need to change because it still works. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Satan wants you to question God's word. Did God really say that? Did he really say that? That's not what God really meant when he said that, was it? How many times have you heard, and Bible college students, this is a big one, once your coworkers find out you're a Bible college student, they start asking you all kinds of questions about the Bible. I had a guy quiz me at the laundromat this week. You say, laundromat, brother? Yes, Satan is trying to discourage me, but God's trying to teach me something through the death of my washing machine. But I met this man, and I was talking to him, and he said, are you a preacher? And I was able to say, yes, I am. It's the first time I was able to say, yes, I am. It was always, I'm going to be one day, or I hope to be, or perhaps one day when the Lord... No, I'm a preacher. So he starts asking me all these questions. And it's the same way when you're a Bible college student. They'll come up to you and they'll say, I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the Bible says, but. And that is what Satan is trying to do, to get you to doubt God's word. Okay, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I preached 2 messages on Romans 8:28 from this pulpit. Do you believe that? Really, all things work together for good? You believe that? The doctor calls and says, hey, no, the doctor, not the front desk lady, not the office manager, the doctor calls you and says, sir, you need to come in here. We need to have a talk. You need to bring your wife with you. All things work together for good? Really? When the doctor uses the C word, cancer, that's really a good thing? You just wrecked the company car, and your two kids are in the back, and there's a police report, and oh, by the way, you're not supposed to have your kids in the company car. And someone in your church says, well, you know, all things work together for good. Really? That's good? You believe that? Satan wants you to doubt God's word, and he wants you to doubt God's goodness. Have you ever been there? Have you ever doubted God's word? You read it, I know that, but. Or, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Then I'd say you're probably in pretty good company. Look at Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We have the example of Gideon. Judges chapter 6. I want to focus on verse number 13, but let's start at verse number 11 so I can get tongue-tied on some of these names. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abzarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now I'm not sure if Gideon knows who he's talking to yet. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why? Have you ever asked God, why? 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 Why this? Why that? Why is this happening? I've stopped asking why. Why is this happening? And started asking, what is it that you want me to learn from this? Gideon says, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Have you been there? Guilty. And the Lord looked upon him. Okay, did you hear what I just said? And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord. Now he just said, O my Lord, twice. It's two different words in the Hebrew. He knows who he's talking to now. And he's arguing with God. O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Enough of Gideon. We find him again in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 32. He's in the hall of faith. Have you ever doubted God's word and God's goodness? That's a ploy of Satan, and we have to be honest, we've been there. Listen, not just Gideon, look at Moses. Look at Moses. Moses knew the plan. And he took it into his own hands. And he thought that that his brethren would understand. And then he's 40 years on the backside of the desert. And then God comes to him in a burning bush and says, Moses, you're going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to free my people. What does Moses do? For the next 2.5 pages in my Bible, Moses argues with God and says, you've got the wrong guy. Anybody ever argue with God? I remember when God called me into the ministry and I argued with it. Did you argue with him? I argued with him for weeks. You got the wrong guy. I can't do this. I can't do that. Do you know how awful I really am? Yes, he does. You don't know how awful I really am. You got the wrong guy. Doubt. Doubt. He wants you to doubt God's word, and he wants you to doubt God's goodness. Be careful. I'm guilty. Discouragement. Discouragement. Another one of Satan's tactics. He wants you to look at your problems rather than God. He wants you to look at your problems rather than God. There's several verses in Psalms that, for the sake of time, we're not going to go to. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse number 5. Discouragement. Luke chapter 5, verse number 5. Have you ever been discouraged at work? I mean, for a lot of men, work is a big part of their life. It's too big of a part of their life. As a man, your identity is like wrapped up in your work. Look at verse number 4. Now, you'll pick up the context real quick. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Let me read between the lines here just a little bit for you. Peter's thinking to himself, I'm a professional fisherman. I do this for a living. I know what I'm doing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. There's a whole sermon there on partial obedience because that's what he did. But Peter is discouraged. Listen, sometimes Satan can use us fathers to discourage our children. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We all know the example of Peter walking on the water. Accomplished fisherman, crossing the Sea of Galilee, a storm comes in quickly. They are in fear for their life. Jesus comes walking on the water. They're afraid. They think it's a spirit. They find out it's Jesus. And Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus says, come. What, the storm is raging. Remember what's going on here. Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on the water to go with Jesus. What happens? He takes his eyes off of Jesus. And he starts to sink. You know, when I read that passage, I'm like, Peter, the storm was raging when you got out of the boat. Nothing changed. But he got discouraged. He took his focus off of Christ. And then he began to sink. And that is what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to look at our problems rather than God. Look at Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 21. 21, verse number 4. This is when the fiery serpents come in. For the sake of time, we'll just dive in. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You know, if we're not careful, if we don't keep our eyes on the prize, if we don't focus on Christ, if we don't have eternity in view, we can get very discouraged by looking around at what's going on right here, right now, and all the problems that we have, and all the difficulties, and all the trials. Satan wants you to look at your problems rather than God. Discouragement. Doubt. It's the oldest trick in the book, but there's also diversion. He attempts to make the wrong things attractive so that your appetites will be turned from godliness. He attempts to make the wrong things attractive so that you'll be turned away from him. Think of the example of Samson. We're not going to turn to Judges for the sake of time, but Samson is an excellent example. And you say, well, he killed a lot of Philistines. Yes, he did. But that was substandard for what God had called him to do. He was someplace that he had no business being, doing things he had no business doing, desiring young ladies that he had no business desiring. And it cost him. You know, I think of, I can't remember her name, but I can see her face. And she got married. And he wasn't saved. I can change him. I can be an influence. I can... No, you can't. No, you can't. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. She is not headed for the mission field now because she was diverted. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That goes for boys and girls. That goes for business owners. If I owned a business, I wouldn't have an unsaved business partner. You can take it from there. Diversion. Listen, Hebrews 11:25 tells us there is pleasure in sin. I quoted the Bible. And that's what Satan would do. The rest of the story is for a season. You'll have fun for a little while and then there's a payday. Had a pastor that used to always say, the good is the enemy of the best. The good is the enemy of the best. Yeah, this over here looks pretty good, but it's not Satan's, it's not God's plan. It keeps me away from God's plan. Yeah, this is good, I'll do this over here. Been diverted. Doubt, discouragement, diversion, delay. Delay. He wants you to put off what the Holy Spirit has prompted you to do so that it never gets done. He wants you to put off what the Holy Spirit has called you to do so that it never gets done. Let's check real quick what Paul says about being delayed. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8. All the T's come together in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8. All right, somewhere in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, Paul says, but Satan hindered us. If you can find it, my daughter will give you some of the candy that I don't have on me anymore because it's packed. Satan hindered us. Look at Romans chapter 1. Thank you. Thank you from the back. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Note to self. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Romans 1, chapter 13. Let's take a little walk with me. Romans chapter 1, verse number 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. The idea is he was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Romans 15:22. You're in Romans. Paul talks about being delayed by Satan again. Romans 15:22. For which cause I also have been much hindered from coming to you. Satan wants you to put off what the Holy Spirit has prompted you to do so that it never gets done. It could be as simple as reading your Bible in the morning. Yeah, I'm going to read my Bible and get up and have a cup of coffee and get in God's Word and you oversleep and well, I'll get to it and the phone rings and then you got to make that list of all the things you got to get done during the day and the Bible's over there and you haven't reached for it yet and then your wife says, hey honey, can you do this for me? And then the kids are up and it's complete pandemonium and you just don't get to read the Bible, Satan won. It could be as simple as delaying you from picking up the book. Because here's what I found in my life. If I don't read it before I leave my house, it doesn't get read that day. I don't care if I carry it with me and it's in the car, it's not going to get read. As a general rule, you got to get it done before you go. You can't let Satan delay you from doing that. You know what else is a real interesting phenomena that's happening now? Seniors going to the mission field. Well, they're self-supporting. They're collecting Medicare. They got their monthly check coming in. They got health insurance. They can go now, and they go. I can't help but think that maybe some of those seniors were called a long time ago, and now they're gone. We're going to plant the church over here. We're going to go to Brazil and minister down there because the kids are grown. The house is paid for. We sold it. We're going to go now. Listen, we've all heard the story of the missionary couple. Oh, they wanted to be missionaries. They met in Bible college. Well, after we get married, we'll go. No, they get married. Well, you know, we've got some student debt we've got to pay off. So we can't go to the field carrying a bunch of debt. So let's get a real job and pay off, you know, this $16,000 that you owe and this $32,000 that I owe so that we can go debt-free. And then they have a baby. Well, you know, we can't live in this little tiny apartment anymore. We're going to get a little house where we can, you know, settle down. And then the promotion comes. And then half their life is gone. And they're still not serving the Lord. Listen, I loved going to Ambassador Baptist College. I loved classes. I got mad at Pastor Dietrich once. He was my professor. I got mad at him once. Once. You know why? He got called for jury duty and he went. And he canceled his classes. And I'm like, you're supposed to be here teaching me, not serving jury duty. I just love class that much. Got mad. I can't help but think that some of these seniors were called a long time ago and Satan got them delayed long enough that they wasted half their life not serving the Lord. I loved Ambassador Baptist College. Yes, I'm coming back to that. It kept me sharp. It kept me young. It kept me, I just use the word sharp because I'm hanging out with all these sharp kids. But it was a constant reminder of how much of my life I had wasted pursuing a career that was a dead end. I was the oldest student there after Mr. Bray left. Boy, I really missed Mr. Bray when he left. Doubt, discouragement, diversion, delay, defeat. He wants you to feel like a failure so that you don't even try. A spiritual zero. Listen, just for the sake of time, because I do want to get to prayer. Have you ever said this? There's no way God could use me now. Man, I've messed up too bad. He wants you to feel defeated so that you don't even try. You know that for the past almost 9 years, I have been what do they call me now? A financial representative at Western and Southern. I'm an insurance agent. Great job, good career. I liked it, don't get me wrong. A lot of parallels between the insurance industry and the ministry. A lot of parallels. But we have these sales contests from time to time, and I may have told you this story before, but just let me tell you it again to illustrate a point here. We had these big sales contests, you know, it's like management's excuse to push the employees even harder and get away with it. There, I said it. Are you recording this? Yeah. Friday's my last day anyway, so. We have this sales contest, and they lay out all these things, you know, these extra nice things that you can win, like a coffee maker, maybe a weekend somewhere with you and your wife, or maybe dinner for two or something, you know, to motivate you. Monday morning on one of these sales contests, it's about 9:30, and we're having this big kickoff, and about 10 o'clock, one of my coworkers, who I love tremendously, put up 9 policies with such and such premium dollars. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to win now. And you know what I did? I went home and I went to bed. That's what I did. Because I was completely defeated. I went home and I went to bed. I can't win. There's no sense even trying now. Friday's my last day. I can. It's out. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to feel so defeated that you don't even try, that you go home and you stay in bed. Doubt, it's the oldest trick in the book. Discouragement, he wants you to look at your problems rather than God. Diversion, he attempts to make the wrong things look appealing to turn you away from godliness. Listen, there's a lot of stuff on that internet that is just turning kids away. Really away. Diversion, delay. He wants you to put off what the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart to do. It could be as simple as picking up the phone and being a word of encouragement, or writing a note the old-fashioned way and putting it in the mail. And the person on the other end gets it, and they open it up, and they're like, oh, that person's praying for me. Man, they wrote me a note. People don't write notes anymore. That's really cool. I think I'll save this. Defeat. He wants you to feel like a spiritual zero so that you don't even try. Hey, these are certainly temptations for me. They're temptations for all of us. But the key is to recognize them for what they are. It's not all doom and gloom. There is an antidote. And here it is. James chapter 4, verse number 7. The key is to recognize them for what they are, to submit to God and resist the devil. Look at James chapter 4. If you don't have these verses marked in your Bible, can I recommend that you do? I've got a big red square around James 4, 7, and 8. I tell you, I've been studying a lot of verses on fear, anxiety, and worry. And there is nothing, my wife's laughing at me, there is nothing like Scripture to calm your mind, because it is true. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's what we're commanded to do. And resist the devil. Here's the promise. He will flee from you. God has a plan for your life, too. Yes, Satan does, but God has a plan for your life. And it involves reassuring your doubts, and strengthening your heart, challenging your faith, and encouraging you to take action. Listen, God's plan is set in motion by simple obedience to a simple invitation. Verse number 8, draw nigh to God. You say, brother, that's old English. What does that mean? Draw close to God. Are you wrestling with doubt? Draw nigh to God. Are you struggling with discouragement? Draw nigh to God. Have you been diverted from your purpose? Draw nigh to God. Are you delaying to act? Has the Holy Spirit of God whispered something in your ear that you haven't done yet? Draw nigh to God. Are you feeling defeated? Get near to Him. Seek His face, and His truth will set you free. It all starts by obeying a simple command of draw nigh unto God. When we realize that these words are playing into our lives, doubt, discouragement, diversion, delay, defeat, you'll know these words are not from God. These are not from God. If you're feeling this way, it's not from God. And when you realize that, then we have a choice to make. And we can choose to believe God and accept His word and be obedient, draw near to God. Draw nigh to God. Draw close to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we realize this, then we have a choice to make. And I think we know what that choice is. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it speaks to hearts. Lord, you've spoken to my heart more through this message than probably anybody in the building. And I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that when we get in this situation, that we would be obedient and that we would draw close to you. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
We're going to take this. I don't know if I'll take a sip of this later.
I need that. Aren't you glad we can be more than conquerors? Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. And so Satan does not have the victory. He doesn't have to have the victory. And so we appreciate that. We appreciate that. All right, if you have a prayer request and you did not get a chance to hand it to me before the service, I'm going to go ahead and ask the men to just start making their way. Maybe you need a prayer request card to fill out, and you can fill that out.